Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally this Wednesday, June the 21st episode. Back after a week off, I'm Brad Locke. Gene Phelps, how you doing, Gene?
Doing great.
Hey, man. Good. It's summer. Everything's done until August. Not really.
Well, not really.
There's plenty going on. Legion baseball.
I've been covering a lot of summer basketball.
You have?
Yeah, on the girls' side. I hadn't been able to find a lot of boys' action going on. People that are making sure I know about when the girls are playing. And we had a lot of good girls' basketball teams up here. So
certainly.
And we've had some changes. So I've tried to go out and get a little story or two that have been in the paper. I wrote about the Kyle Hurd, who replaced Bill Russell.
Yep,
at Pontotoc. Actually, tomorrow, Thursday, I'm going over to watch Bill Russell's first game or scrimmage as a coach at South Pontotoc. They're playing in Pontotoc at one of these summer tournaments where they play with a running clock. And
yeah.
Just I thought it might be a little interesting twist on how things are going for him there at South and what we can look for and those types of things.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a neat story. Friday, I'm going to Vina, Alabama.
Really?
To cover, it's Easter Red Bay, Vina is.
Yeah.
New site, a team I wrote about just the other day that's moving down a classification and will be in the same division with Ingomar. So they give up Belmont and Boonville and pick up Ingomar. They're playing Belmont, who some coaches have told me Belmont may be the best team in the North, period, regardless of class next season. So I thought I'd go over and do a little something on that. Plus, those are two big rivals.
Certainly,
girls basketball.
Yeah, Chris Higginbottom always has a good team there at
Belmont.
He does.
He's got some really good ones back and young ones. So.
All right. We'll look forward to that. Today's episode, though, we want to talk about All-Area. The All-Area baseball and softball teams were in the Sunday Journal, so we'll do that in just a moment. First, I want to remind you that you can access this show in many different ways. We're in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, if you don't have an iPhone. Also online at preprally.djournal.com. We're also on Twitter, at D-Journal Preps. You can find out by following that account when we get new episodes. Or if you're using a podcast app, just click the subscribe button. So coming to you normally every Wednesday. And like I said, we're not here last week. We're here this week. We'll try to be here as often as possible during the summer. Maybe start looking ahead to some football at some point, because it's never too soon during the summer to start talking football, which will be here before we know it. I guess, gosh, Gene, we're just over a month away from preseason camp, aren't we?
Right. I think they start the last week in July because they have, and I may be wrong on it, maybe like the last day in July, but you know, they play, most teams are playing like those jamborees on like August the 12th and 13th, whatever those Friday, Saturdays are. And then the week of Friday, August the 18th, Tupelo High hosts Meridian in the classic game. You know, you still have the classic game.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's it. Season kicking off August the 18th.
Wow. Yeah, going to be here before we know it. Well, let's go ahead and talk about All-Area, the baseball and softball All-Area teams that we select every year. We're in the Sunday Journal. Now, we already knew about the Players of the Year because of the sports banquet that we had.
Correct.
Where we awarded the top athletes in each winter and spring sport. This new thing we're doing, the big banquet. And, of course, we honored Hallie Donald in softball and Trace Henry in baseball, both of Morville.
Right.
They were the Players of the Year. If you listen to the last episode we had 2 weeks ago, we had interviews with both of those fine young people. And now today we're going to focus on the Coaches of the Year. We've got interviews with both of those guys, Justin Reed and Dana Ray, both of Tupelo.
Correct.
But before we get to the interviews, let's first run through the teams themselves. Let's start with baseball. Gene, All-Area team. Some tough picks you had to make there, but we'll just run through the first team here real quick. I mean, a lot of good players in the area. You've got Colton Osborne of Nettleton.
I mean, this is a guy that hit three no-hitters in a perfect game.
That's not too
shabby. I didn't get to see Colton pitch. Blake Morgan, who worked for us, who's now gone working in Knoxville, Tennessee, went to see Nettleton play, and he – texted me on the phone, says, I got a guy, it's first team all area. I just saw him. And he was talking about Osborne. And and the more I heard about him and the more people talked about him, of course, Blake saw him pitch a couple more times.
Yeah. And, then you had Drew Bianco of Oxford, the son of Mike, brother of Ben. Bianco's know a little bit about playing baseball there. Had a couple of kids from Tupelo. Josh Smith, a pitcher and outfielder, was the winning pitcher in that big Game 3 of the Classic A Championship Series. And Jackson Bridges, their ace pitcher, also an infielder. Those guys both making the first team all-area. Then just running through real quick some other guys. You had Kyle Krieger of Corinth. A couple of kids from Morville, Andy Franks, and the aforementioned Trace Henry, our Player of the Year, Jess Medlin of Ripley, and then Nick Wilcher of Kossuth. So some familiar names, even if they weren't on the team before. Of course, Nicholas, the younger brother of a previous Player of the Year that we had, Jacob Wilcher, twice, wasn't he?
Yes.
Player of the Year twice. Yeah. And then, of course, Drew Bianco, as I mentioned, brother of Ben. So a tough team to pick, I suppose, Gene. But and you got Ben, by the way. Ben Bianco was a second teamer.
Yeah, and the kids on the second team could have easily been a first teamer. We have a lot of really good baseball players in the area. It was tough.
Yes, certainly. And then, as we mentioned, of course, Justin Reed of Tupelo leading them to the state title, first one in 24 years.
Yeah.
Coach of the Year. And we interviewed Justin not too long ago, and so we'll go into that right now.
And we got Tupelo High coach Justin Reed here, the Golden Wave, coming off a 26-10 record, and more importantly, a 6A state championship in baseball, the first for Tupelo since the 1993 season. Actually, it was back-to-back years, 92 and 93, when Kurt Presley was pitching for the Wave and Larry Harmon was the skipper. It's been a long time ago. But anyway, Justin, I'm glad you're here with us today. And, you know, we talked during the playoffs, and, you know, it might be a little bit hokey, but it wasn't to you guys. But y'all broke down your practices every day with Trustmark, which is Trustmark Park, where the championships are played. And just a little behind that thought process there and that.
Right. Well, you know, every year you look for a different say in what matches your team, what type thing, you know, because each – team is different, you know, as we've talked before. And it's one of those deals where I think you have to have a vision of where you want to be. You know, and this is not the first time that anyone has asked this question. And, you know, why do y'all do that? And it was just we were watching a college team and were breaking it down on Omaha. And it sort of clicked with us as a coaching staff one day. And I was like, look, guys, if we're going to start breaking it down on Trustmark, and, you know, because that's where we wanted to be at the end of the year. And I think you have that vision of that goal set. And obviously that's where we were fortunate enough to end up. So, pretty neat deal there.
And then once you got there, and you and I talked about it, and I was asking the other days, and then when you get there, you go, we got to win it now.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was one of those deals. You know, the kids, after we had won the North and we were coming back for practice that next week, they get ready to break it down, and they're like, Coach, we got to change this. We've already established. And I'm like, no, guys, we're going to keep it the same. So, it's really blessed to be able to have the opportunity to get there. And we played some really good teams along the way that were fortunate enough to win. So.
Right. We talked about, about your team. Y'all started out like 6-6, but you played some really good teams. I know you went down to the coast. You lost to Ocean Springs. Ocean Springs was a team a lot of people thought might make it to Trustmark themselves. You played McGill Toolin out of Mobile. And just but talk about playing that tough schedule early, and obviously it prepared you guys for what you had down the road.
Right. Well, you know, we go down, we played in Mississippi, you know, the Classic in Jackson, and then we go the following week to the coast. And actually the team that was making a lot of noise at the time was Gulfport. I mean, they hadn't been beaten at the time, and we never crossed paths with them. And, you know, it's funny that we ended up, you know, being the last series we played. But, you know, we did. I think you got to play good teams early in the schedule because, I mean, that prepares you for that division schedule that obviously gets you into the playoff realm and prepares you for the end of the season. But, you know, we did. We went down and played at Hancock and played Ocean Springs and then played a good Pascagoula team all in a 3-day or 2-day span there over spring break. So, battle test, I think we went 1-2 on the week down, or, you know, playing two close games. And then, you know, good experience getting to play teams that we don't always get to see around home, you know. So, but really good trip for the boys.
Just talk about your postseason run. I mean, y'all really didn't have a terrible game. I mean, it was...
And it's like, as we were talking to the staff after it was all settled, and calmed down a little bit, and, when you look back on the things that you did good and look back on the things you did bad, and throughout the consistency that we had in the four series that we played in was the pitching side of things. I mean, our guys really, they rose to the occasion in a sense to, and the same as they have done all year, but they were just really consistent on the mound. We knew we didn't give them the run support we needed in a lot of the, and we didn't swing it just real great towards the latter part of this, the north half or the, we did one game in the north half series, but then in the state championship, we didn't feel we swung it real well, but at the same time, we were getting good outings on the mound from our top three guys.
You were, and that's Jackson Bridges, mm-hmm. and Charlie Greer, and Josh Smith, who pitched in the event, what would be the championship game, and a left-hander came on, and I believe he four-hit him.
Yeah, he did.
And quite a performance there. What was the decision on because you had a couple other choices, I guess, for that third guy?
Josh was a guy we used a lot on Saturdays, and it goes back to throughout the year, Jackson and Charlie as well. They pitched basically complete games every time out in division play. So you were having to, on Saturdays, you were having to find those guys that could be that game three, because we knew once we got in the playoffs, you could have a game three, and we went, it did, in two different series there. So with DeSoto Central and obviously with Gulfport. But, Josh was a guy we gave the ball to on Saturdays a good bit. He pitched really well earlier in the year against Grenada, and he was sort of that guy that fit a starter's role for us. And we didn't know whether he would be able to last the whole game due to endurance and him not throwing as much as the other guys. But we had used some other guys in relief, Reed Michaels, sort of a middle relief type guy. We'd used South Sanders and some of those guys. But Josh was a guy that we liked more, on the front end of the game. And, and call it emotions or call it whatever. I mean, he pitched really well. And, it was a really quick ball game, that last game being a quick game. I think we played it in about an hour and 25 minutes or something like that. So, sort of a pitcher's game, I guess. It wouldn't be about six hits between the two of us. So he did a really good job, as though the other two did as well early in the games that they pitched. So
yeah, and I don't know if there were any words I could use to explain. I probably didn't do them any justice, but your defense played pretty phenomenal all year, and especially during the playoffs. Can you just talk about your middle infield?
We had a they were sound all year long, and we had a key injury in game one of the DeSoto Central series with Steven going down. Mm-hmm. He check swung and mm-hmm. broke a bone in his hand, and we had to go to Jack Eicher, which mm-hmm. we treated him like a starter all year, as far as he was a late inning guy for us, or even when certain pitching, when they go to the mound, we would use him. And He was a key guy that stepped in for us and played short. Gatlin at second and South, mm-hmm. at third, all played, really good defense latter part of the last three games or the last three series that we were in. And you got to throw Jackson and Charlie in there too at first, because we rotated those guys out for the most part of all year, whoever wasn't on the mound. So.
Yeah, if anybody was your hard luck pitcher, it was Charlie.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, he could sue his teammates for non-support a couple of times. I mean, he really pitched some phenomenal games.
He did. And numbers-wise, Charlie put up some really good numbers this year and pitched really well. And it seemed like we would just not get that big hit.
Yeah.
And we had opportunities to get hits in those situations, not just in that. I know we look at game two and state championship, but but he did. He had some hard luck. I know he lost a 1-0 ball game against DeSoto Central. I think he one hit him. it's tough luck there. But he didn't let it get him down. He was very consistent all year. He went back out there, and you knew what you were going to get out of him. And I mean, it's the way it works sometimes. And he handled it very well. So
yeah. Just last question here. Final thoughts. First state championship for you?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, you don't ever know if it'll be your one and only. You hope that you have more coming, but just what kind of memories will you have of this team? And will you look at this team and how it all worked together and maybe start looking for that kind of chemistry as you go?
Well, it's funny you say that. This group of guys we had were unbelievable. We started talking whenever I got here, 2 years ago now, that we wanted them to be – a family, and we talked as far as seventh grade all the way up. And these guys really, a lot of them had played. We had 11 seniors this time, and not all of them contributed per se on the field every day, but they did in ways that us as a staff saw that. And a great group of kids. I don't know that it'll ever come. You know, I don't think you'll ever, if it happens again, we'll be able to say, well, this one was, you know, different than this one. Or I think everybody, every year is going to be a different group of guys. But just phenomenal group of guys that all understood their role. And they worked really hard, you know, for one common goal. And I believe that. We talk about going to trust Mark. I don't know if you call it us as a staff or what, but I really believe they believed that we were going to have the opportunity to get there, you know, early in the year. And that's what we pushed and they bought into a good thing. And we were, like I said, fortunate enough to make it come true in a sense. So very proud of them. That's for sure.
All right. I know that the city's proud and the school system's proud. They like winning those state championships. Yeah. And I know Tupelo baseball's, I've been here 31 years. They've had a really proud program and had success. Went for years, won all the division championships. I think there was only like 1 year since I've been here. They haven't won a division championship. That speaks a lot. A lot of volumes, and had some great Tupelo teams that have gone down there and can't win. It's hard to win a state championship. But anyway, congratulations to you on a great year, and thank you for stopping by with us.
Yes, sir. Thank you all.
Okay, let's move on to softball, the all-area softball team. As mentioned, Hallie Donald of Morville was the player of the year again, second year in a row. She's really good. So she leads the first team there. Also, her teammate Summer Kreider made the first team. From Tupelo, you had Tay Wren as well as Ivy Watts make the first team. Then you also had... Harley Mullins of Saltillo, Angel Guyton of Smithville, McKinley Montgomery of Mantachie. She was just a freshman, excuse me. Yeah, you got another freshman from Hamilton, Faith Fontenot, and then a freshman from East Union, Katie Boatner, which is not really unusual around here, Gene. The girls start early in softball, and they're really good young. Yeah.
It's not. We don't usually take nominations for these teams anymore, but what I do is I call a lot of coaches and I ask them about players, and I talk with some of our writers at some of our weekly papers who cover these kids a lot more than we do, and these are the names that came up.
Yeah.
And, hey, I don't care if you're a seventh grader, if you're the best player, if your coach thinks you're one of the best in the area, if a coach on another team tells you they're one of the best players in the area, then, hey – far be it from me to keep them off the team.
And Hallie Donald, she's been on the all-area team like times now?
Yeah, I think since an eighth grader. She's been a starter since the seventh grade. But she, I'll never forget Colin Perry Wilburn. He had a typical Morville balanced team. And I said, what about your all-area picks? Who do you like, Perry? Who's your best player? And he went, well, probably got to go with that eighth grader. And he was talking about Hallie then. So,
and you appreciate when a coach says that, because a lot of coaches are like, well, I'm going to go with my senior, even if that's not his best player, because it's a senior. And I kind of get it, but, we're looking for the best. And if that's an eighth grader, it's an eighth grader.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
I would like to think that all these girls, Angel Guyton, who's on the team, was our 2015 player of the year as a sophomore.
That's right. She was.
So, she just got beat out by Hallie Donald the last 2 years. And I'm going to tell you what, it's close. You're not going to find two better players than Angel Guyton and Hallie Donald.
No, I mean, Angel batted 556, had a 17-6 record in the circle there. So, really packed first team there. And two of those players that we mentioned from Tupelo, Tay Wren and Ivy Watts, had a big hand in leading the Golden Wave to their first state title there in 6A.
They did. Tay Wren's got a little more speed on her ball. She was their solid pitcher. They use them both.
Sure.
Shana Ray likes to use them both. But Tay was seen to be the Ivy was having some back problems, and Tay pitched every one of their division games and all their big games and got them there. And then maybe I'm not going to say she faded, but maybe started struggling a little bit late in the season. Ivy came back. Ivy throws a lot more off speed.
Yeah.
She's got a nice variety of pitches.
Yeah.
She was solid in the postseason.
Yeah. And, of course, second-year coach Dana Ray had a big hand in keeping them in the middle of the road when Ivy went down, and getting them all the way to the championship, overcoming some deficits early in the playoffs, some 1-0 series deficits. And so Dana was named our coach of the year. And we also spoke with Dana recently for the prep rally here. So we'll go go into that now.
Hey, we've got Dana Ray here, coach of the Tupelo Lady Wave softball team, the 6A state champion Lady Wave fast pitch softball team. Coach, we can't start an interview without asking you first kind of what happened at the end of the season. I mean, what a postseason run. We were talking earlier about it being almost storybook-like. You have an easy first-round series, and you just, you know, you mash Starkville and get them out of the way, I believe. And
Gene, it was. it was an incredible run. You know, we hit Starkville, which was a quality team, and then we hit a bus on DeSoto Central, and they beat us pretty good at home. And we didn't play very well, didn't pitch very well, and then went up to their place and was able to beat them twice at their place. And man, I saw something flip with our team at that point. I think that's where we gained confidence. I think I told a parent, I think we just learned how to win at that series. And man, we rolled after that. It was like, didn't matter yeah, what we faced.
I mean, yeah, I believe you came home again and hosted Clinton and lost.
Same scenario.
Had to go on the road.
Same scenario.
One swept again. Then the Stars got out of alignment, and you come up here and you beat Madison Central, and then you go down there and you lose a game two that you probably should have won.
Should have won.
And then you come back and run rule them in game three. So y'all were a team of destiny, it looked like, at that point.
This team, they never got out off kilt, you know. I mean, they just stayed even kilt pretty much the whole time, and never seemed to really get rocked by a win or a loss. And that's one thing I can brag about for this bunch, is they stayed even, you know, good balance all through the playoffs.
All right, you go down to the state tournament, and I know you're the type of coach that didn't have them there thinking, oh, we're just happy to be here. Y'all went to win. But, I mean, you're definitely the underdog.
Certainly.
Playing three-time defending state champion Harrison Central, and y'all just put your foot on their throat, and that was it.
That's the scariest thing, Gene, is when you take a team down there. You want them to enjoy the experience, but you also want to go down there for the right reasons, and that's to win a state championship. And I think that was my biggest fear, and it has been every year I've taken a team down there, was just making sure that we stayed focused on why we were there. But, yeah, to beat Harrison Central in two games, it's pretty remarkable.
Did you think that run in the playoffs and the way you guys came back from adversity in every of the last three series before that kind of gave your team some confidence, and maybe you took a team down there that thought they were going to win?
I don't think this team ever thought they were going to lose. I think they had one thing on their mind, and that was winning that thing, and they didn't fear Harrison Central. And I think we were battle-tested. You know, having to go two on the road and win two twice, you know, splitting a series in the north half and having to win the third game, I think that was just things that prepared us for that state championship run.
Talk about your offensive production. I mean, you like to see your team hit 1-9, and yours did. That Alicia Graff, your number nine hitter, hitting probably like 650 in the playoffs.
It was a heck of a run with the offense. It surely was. We had kids up and down the lineup from, you know, our leadoff to our nine-hole, and it seemed like just a new kid every night that came up with a big hit, a timely hit, a home run, a double in the gap, whatever it may be, or just getting a simple bunt down. We had a hero every night.
Your pitching, Tay Wren had carried you most of the year, and she's got a little bit of speed on the ball and everything. And then you come back with Ivy Watts, who's a phenomenal player, who's been slowed by back injuries, and she comes up and becomes your big pitcher in the postseason for you. Just talk about the pitching you got.
It was funny how the season started, because, you know, Tay plays basketball, and she missed the early part of the season with basketball, because, you know, they made that run down the Coliseum. And so Ivy was kind of our workhorse up to spring break with Tay mixed in. But then during spring break, Ivy goes down, and Tay, man, she just carries us. She puts us on her back and carries us through all the division games and all that stuff when Ivy couldn't pitch. And then Ivy gets back healthy, and now we've got a little bit of a two-pitcher combo we can throw at you with a little bit of soft and then a little bit of hard.
Yeah. And the last thing here, and we talked about this earlier, changing the perception of Lady Wave softball. I'm not saying it was bad or anything before you got here, but it wasn't in the same vein here in Northeast Mississippi like we talk about Nettleton, where you came from, or Morville or Smithville or Hamilton or some of those perennial powers that seem to be in the hunt every year. Very few times you see lapses. Tupelo High now, you think, and you came here and you wanted to change perception. I talked with some of your players, and they seemed to think from a student standpoint and a school support standpoint, they were gaining that late in the year. Winning a state championship, do you think it helps with the younger players that might be coming up or younger kids?
I definitely think it puts softball on the map for sure in our school. You know, we have so many sports that are going on that girls have an opportunity to play. And I think it definitely pulls away from softball. But as far as Tupelo being a powerhouse, you know, that's our goal. You know, we want to, yeah, I think somebody said, let's build a dynasty. And I said, I'm all for it. I think it starts with winning. You got to find a way to win. And these girls have found a way to do that.
Man, I appreciate you being with us. And congratulations, Dana's our Coach of the Year, Daily Journal Coach of the Year in fast pitch. And keep it going.
Man, we're going to try it. Thanks, Gene.
All right, man.
Appreciate it.
Okay, good stuff from both coaches.
Yeah,
Justin really Reed was. And Dana Ray, a banner year for Tupelo Athletics.
It was. And just for them, a banner spring for
heck, yeah.
The Golden Wave.
Yeah.
And saw where they won the Clarion Ledger All Sports Award. I know that's another paper. But anyway,
yeah.
Really good for Tupelo there. I know they take pride in having a well-rounded athletic program.
Certainly they do. And now, you know, they've got the fall to look forward to with the football team. You got a story actually in Wednesday's Journal about the quarterback, Stephon McGlon, and his progress as a player and as a leader. So be sure to check that out in the Journal or at djournal.com. We're out of time for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We'll try to do it again next week. We'll find something to talk about. You can find this show, of course, in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com, or on Twitter at djournalpreps. Gene is on Twitter at Gene Phelps. I'm on there at Brad Locke. So we'll see y'all hopefully next week. Until then, have a good one.